Hello, welcome to another episode of The Trainer's Hut. I'm Todd Blum, your host. We're here in The Trainer's Hut Studios. We're back with another edition of your favourite racing podcast. We're speaking to Steve Trevallier of Roll the Dice Racing. What a weekend they had. The Caulfield wins. Scottish Dancer goes three in a row of his four starts with Andrew Bobbin after being moved from Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. And when you think of, you know, some of the most exciting horses on the track at the moment, you can think of names such as Profiteer, favourite for the Golden Slipper. Crone won the Group 1 Coolmore Classic. She stayed in training too. She hasn't gone to stud. And Ayrton, well, he just took the racing world by storm, didn't he? They're all Roll the Dice racing horses. They're all owned by the same company who get people involved in racing. They do a terrific job. They're great for racing. They're expanding. They're in Victoria, South Australia, Queensland, and they've jumped into New South Wales with Matthew Smith, who's a past guest on this show. And I speak from experience, I've got a small share in a horse with Matthew Smith and love the way he goes about it. So very excited to speak to Steve Trevallier. We're going to find out about Scottish Dancer, his win on the weekend, and just that country change really seems to have suited him. I'm going to find out about all the big guns in the Roll the Dice racing stable. As well as them, though, we're going to just pick Steve's brain. We want to find someone who's the next Roll the Dice racing horse. So make sure you get a pen and notepad ready to write that down, because they've just had superstars coming out of trees. Can't wait to find out who the next one is. So make sure the pen and paper's ready. But this is Steve Trevallier, Roll the Dice Racing, in the Trainer's Hut.
Hashima goes to a clear second, Arthur Francis to third, but it's Profiteer will clear the capitalist card. In fact, he's extending. What a superstar, Profiteer, and a big payday for his owners, winning the English Millennium in a romp.
Joining me now in the Trainer's Hut, Steve Trevallier, the racing manager for Roll the Dice Racing. What a season it's been, and the weekend, they're finishing the season strong with Scottish Dancer taking out a race at Caulfield, his third win in a row. Steve, welcome to the Trainer's Hut.
Thank you very much. It's always nice to be talking after a nice winner on the weekend.
Yeah, well, Scottish Dancer, very impressive. He continued his excellent run of form to win three on the trot for Andrew Bobbin and only had the four starts for his new trainer since making the switch to the country environment. And it seems to have agreed with him.
Yeah, it does. He's as it's been well reported, he's a bit of a quirky horse, and he was down at Mick Price, Mick Kent's, and look, they did a good job with him, everything like that, but, you know, at the end of the day, it was kind of half their suggestion as well, so this horse just doesn't suit the city. So after their last run, he had to go and have a bit of a clean-up. He had a couple of little bone chips in the two front fetlocks, so we took him up to Ballarat, where he had the operations, kind of came through it really, really well, but Andrew Cuss there suggested maybe find somewhere with a bit of soft sand and, you know, the beach or somewhere like that. And so we've got a little kind of place at Ballarat that looks after all our horses, need a bit of rehab, and we kind of sat down and I thought, well, I might just give him to Andrew to do the first 4 or 6 weeks with him. We'll make a decision after that. So I kind of picked him up and floated him there, and Andrew threw me in the car and we had a drive around, had a look at the place, and I was just so impressed. I was impressed with Andrew and I was impressed with him after I dropped the horse off, that I kind of went away in my own mind. I thought, I reckon he's the right person to be training the horse, but, you know, that was just my decision. We had a heap of people in the horse and we had to convince people that was the right decision, and so we just kind of let it roll along for a little while. So it was pre-training, but always in the back of my mind, I thought, we'll give him a go. So, yeah, that's where we ended up.
Well, he's a young trainer, and he's certainly got a wealth of experience and really making his mark in his own right. What were some of the things that drew you towards him from that chat and just the way he went about the pre-training and stuff like that?
Oh, look, to be fair, it was just, I think anyone will, just the setup he had, just especially for this horse, the setup was just ideal. We hopped in his four-wheel drive and had a drive around there's about 3 km of sand track there, all in different directions and stuff like that. And but him being a quirky kind of horse, changing it up a little bit and stopping from thinking a little bit too much as well, I just thought it was ideal. So that's where we kind of landed on it, and that's really what made up my mind. I didn't know, I've met Andrew before, but I didn't know a lot about his trainer ability. I know he'd come from Kamani's and a few people around had spoke highly of him, but that was about as much as I knew. But once I met him and went to the property, I was, I drove away with a bit of a mindset, this is what I want to happen, and I've just got to convince the owners, which wasn't all easy when you take one off Mick Price and then give it to someone at stall, especially if they think the horse has got ability. It wasn't easy to convince people, but I'm glad I did.
It's certainly your decision that's paying dividends at the moment. You mentioned Scottish Dancer, who's a bit of a quirky horse. There's been a bit of patience being required with him. He won his first start and thought, gee, we're away, and then a bit of indifferent form, but he's still won six races from the 13 starts.
Yeah, no, he has. If you really want to drill down into his form, he probably, you know, you say they've gone off the boil a little bit. Well, he did have a couple of little issues there. We tested him over 2,000 metres at one of his other starts, but, I mean, he got beaten by a good horse of Archie Alexander's over 2,000 metres, Parade, I think it was called. Like, it's, I think he went on to win a Group 3 race or something somewhere, and then go back before that, and I think he got beaten over 1,800 at Sandown behind Charlie Rose. So, I mean, both of those horses go pretty good, and then, yeah, I think he beat home Russian Camelot one day, and he ran third, and, you know, people were disappointed. Well, Russian Camelot ran fourth, I think. So he's punched around in some pretty good races as well, you know. So his form really didn't drop off too badly, but he was kind of carrying a couple of niggling little injuries, and, yeah, and he just probably wasn't completely happy in the environment he was in, I suppose.
He was purchased for $75,000 from the Magic Millions two-year-olds in training sale. He's won just shy of $190,000. Dollars at the moment in prize money. Where does he go from here now, Steve? Does he keep racing, you know, now and collecting checks, or has he earned a short break or a bit of a freshen and have a look at some spring targets?
Oh, look, we never try and get too carried away with all that kind of stuff. Look, yeah, we purchased him for $75,000. Jeremy Rogers picked him out at the Ready to Runs. We were up there, and he was a lovely type of horse. Look, moving forward, I had a few chats with Andrew this morning, and we do lean on people like Dean Lester and stuff, and I had a chat to Dean this morning about maybe what a target should be. We're not super convinced he can run a strong 2,000. He's by Dream Ahead. You know, they're kind of nice run-on 1,400, 1,200, 1,400, sometimes 1,600-metre horses. I'm not sure that he'll get 2,000. I don't think Andrew's convinced either. I think, without locking in stone, the best plan for him is maybe just give him 4 weeks between runs. There's a mile race at Caulfield again, an open handicap at Caulfield, and then 2 weeks after that there's that 1,700 metre race called the Heatherly Stakes. I think it's just a listed race. If you're fit and going well, you can kind of fit in pretty well, because all the good horses probably are just starting back, and it's just a good race. If you wanted to look at a listed type of race, that might be something to look at.
I look forward to seeing how it plays out in his continued run of form, but it's been an excellent season for Roll the Dice Racing. Yourself, Rob Norton, Lee Saville are involved there in Roll the Dice, the other directors, and a Group 1 win with Crone this season. We'll get to her in a moment, but Profiteer, he could be one of the best, biggest boom horses in the country. He burst onto the scene winning the English Millennium at his second start after winning a pre-Christmas two-year-old race on debut. How's he come through that run in a heavy golden slipper and a spell?
Oh, physically, it didn't take him long to get over it. He was distressed after lace. It was a bit muggy there that day. Obviously, he completely overdid it. But he was, to be fair to the horse, he was probably overdoing a little bit in the pre-parade ring, and before he got the sweats up, and there was alarm bells going off, you know, half an hour before the race probably, or even a little bit less than that. So, but he came through the race well. He physically looks great, and he's been doing some equestrian work up there in Sydney. He's come along well. He'll go first up into the Moya Stakes. I think it's Friday night before the AFL Grand Final. And if all goes well and he runs well there, we'll probably look at the Coolmore with him after that. Yeah, trying to tick off a Group 1. So he's got a really nice home at stud.
Who do you follow in the AFL, Steve?
Carlton.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, it could be a very big grand final weekend, but it looks like all the focus will be on Friday night.
Yeah, no, all the focus will be on Friday night. No, there's no flying over to the... As much as I love my footy, it's been a tough few 10 years. Anyway, that's another story.
And the new partners, Newgate and their partners have jumped on board, which assures him of a career at stud. And like you said, if he ticks off the Group 1, it'll be all that more assured. But it must be good to have, you know, some industry leaders involved in your operation as well.
Yep, no, excellent. Henry's been awesome and made the process really simple when we kind of went down that track. Obviously, he stood capitalist. And we have got another horse, the Stud Mahuta, that we had earlier, but it's really nice, like, just when you watch the races at Perth or something and there's a little Mahuta going around or something like that, you kind of have some type of attachment to it. And I'm sure, hopefully, this profiteer can do the right thing and we can follow his progeny and maybe race a few of them over the time, because you have that link and you have that personality with him and that kind of stuff, so it's nice to see that. So hopefully that all works out.
Looking forward to seeing him back in the spring. Crone, they're up there at Eagle Farm, trained by Tony Golan, and Group 1 races are what we do it all for, Steve. And I'm sure it was a massive thrill for everyone involved when she won the Coolmore Classic in the autumn.
It was. Yeah, it kind of all snuck up on us a little bit quick. She won that race of the Magic Millions, and that was our goal. That was what we kind of, you know, when we had her in the sales, and you know, I rang Tony and just said, look, we've got this carrot, 600,000 for women, that Magic Millions race, the mayor's race. And he said, well, she's feeling good. She went good in the glasshouse. So, you know, can we keep going with her? I said, yep, let's do it. And it looked a bit rocky there for a few runs, hard tracks and stuff like that. But then just won the Magic Millions, won the Group 2 lead-up race, and then won the Group 1 race. And we always knew she could gallop. A race stalled, let her down. But she drew a couple of nice barriers. She was well handled. Yeah, the rest is history. But it's amazing how quick it all happened and where it ended up. But she's a beautiful mare that's going to hold a special place in our hearts, myself, Lees and Rods, for a long time, I think.
Well, the couple of horses that we've already spoken about, Steve, they're what you could call a syndicator's dream. Not only are they providing the thrill for owners on the track, they're building the profile of Roller Dice Racing and the business. And the boom horse, it could be the best of them all, Ayrton. He just burst onto the scene last year, and he just developed this big following, didn't he? The close association with Jamie Carr, which was so well watched. How's he come through his winter prep up there in Queensland?
Yeah, I saw him last week. I went and had a look at him. I dropped one off at Nick's, and he arrived the night before. Physically, I mean, he's a nice athletic animal. Looks really good. Travelled down really well. He only had the 3.5 weeks off, but in saying that, he only had 3 runs for the campaign. He's only had 5 starts all up, so he had a bit of sun on his back. He's, you know, he looked good in the coat, and yeah, I suppose we move on now and try and get a bit of money for the owners. But it's he was the boom horse, or he is the boom horse, and it kind of doesn't sit super comfortably with us at Roll the Dice. We try to keep it a little bit more low key to take the pressure off, but the lid just came off pretty early on him. So anyway, he's a nice horse, and I think we've picked the right race for him to go to. Not setting the ceiling too high, but there's plenty of prize money.
Excellent stuff. Now, we're talking about some of the horses that are on the map already. Just one for the listeners. Before we get to the horses you have available, Steve, is there a two-year-old going on three, or maybe a lightly raced three-year-old that's nearly four that we haven't mentioned that excites you, just for listeners to write down and follow through the black book?
There is one. He's just gone shin sore, but we kind of think he's quite a nice horse. Mick Price, Mick Kent train him. His name's Hong Bao. He's a Sabug gelding now. We gelded him about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He's probably got another 2 or 3 weeks in the paddock. He did go reasonably shin sore. He's been shin sore twice, but a little bit immature, but we think he's got some really nice talent, so he'd probably be the one of the kind of two-year-old rising three-year-olds. We haven't actually got... This year was when we bought a heap, but we've only really got 12 horses, 13 horses that are raced or in work at the moment, and then we've got a whole heap of young horses and horses that have taken a little time behind that.
And the people that you have involved, so you've already mentioned Jeremy Rogers there, you've done a bit of work with John Foote in the past as well. It's obviously key to have good judges when you're picking horses to syndicate, to give owners the best possible chance on the track as well.
Oh, 100%, yeah, I mean... Jeremy's integral to what we do. We're friends, we get along really well, we're all on the same page. We always have been on the same page, even when he worked for Darren. We go to the sales, we know exactly what we want, we're prepared to pass out on things, we're prepared to, you know, if the x-rays aren't quite right, we're just prepared to walk away, even if we love the horse. We, you know, if one of us kind of deviate from that, there's always, you know, Rob Lee and myself or Jez, there'll be always one person going, no, this is not the plan. And with four of us doing it, it kind of helps a lot. So it works really well from that perspective. And it's taken a little while, but it's really, really showing the successes now, I suppose.
Absolutely. And the horse is available, Steve. So, like you said, you've really gone with some ammo to the yearling sales this year and brought quite a few nice horses. There's only a handful left, and there's not much left of those that are still there. So, in a Keed Mafeed and Vadimos Colts with Mick Price and Kent.
Yep. Yep.
Street Boss Philly with Josh Julius at Bendigo, and you've got a Rubik Philly with this new foray into Sydney with Matthew Smith, who's been a past guest on this show as well.
Yeah, he's really professional, Matthew. Yeah, she's a lovely filly. There's probably only about 5 or 10% left in her. And to be fair, there's always little shares left in a few horses. As we get to 80%, it goes out real quick, and then we kind of focus on what we're doing and we lose track. We've still got 15% left in this one, but we always keep a share in the horse as well. We like to keep a share to race as well. But yeah, the Keep My Fee, that was picked out by Jez. He's a lovely colt. He's in work doing some pre-training with Josh Julius, and I'll take him down to have a look at Caulfield in a week or two. He's a nice moving horse, and Josh has really taken with him. The Vadamos is one that it's over in New Zealand at the moment. Lauren Brennan's got it over there. Oh, that should be another one I should mention. There's an Ifrage Gelding we've got over in New Zealand at the moment that we're pretty excited about as well, but it hasn't been named yet. It's still over in New Zealand. You probably won't see it for another 3 or 4 months. But Lauren's got the Vadamos over in New Zealand. She's doing some work with him now. She really, really likes him. There's some shares left in him, but he's going to take his time and that kind of stuff, but we thought he was really well bought as well.
And Josh Julius, so you've got a horse with him, and you mentioned doing a bit of pre-training, a bit similar to the setup with Andrew Bobbin, just a young bloke who knows the ins and outs of the industry and really building a nice record, starting out on his own as well.
Yep, no, Josh is a ripper. I'm from Bendigo. I go out and give him a hand when I can. Always around the horses. He's taught me a lot. He does a lot of our pre-training, does a lot of work with the young horses. We like our young horses around a track, so he's at Bendigo because, you know, a bit of a hustle and bustle, and they tend to learn a little bit quicker. And we're trying to reward Josh with a few horses. Jeremy bought a really nice Street Boss filly. She hasn't got a massive pedigree behind her, but she's a hell of an individual. And obviously Street Boss is doing a super job at the moment. We thought she was very well bought at 30,000, and Josh was there, and we just thought we'd reward him. But unfortunately, it's not that easy to syndicate. It seems a lot easier to syndicate them with your Mick Prices and your Peter Moody's and all this kind of stuff. It's a lot harder when you say Josh Julius is training him, but we're going to back him in and get a few with him. And obviously he's done a lot of education work with a lot of our nice horses that have gone through. He had Profiteer for a fair while there, and he's had a lot of other nice horses there. Spend a lot of time with Anjana and a few others. So.
People listening to the podcast, Steve, they like what they hear. They've been under a rock and haven't realised the good quality horses that have come through with the Blue Silks and the Red Dye Silks. How do they get in touch if they want to race a share in the limited ones you've got left?
Best way is to jump on the website, www.rollthedice.com.au. Jump on. Look, there's an inquiry page. It's got my number on there. Anyone wants to call me, just give us a call and we'll have a chat and open and honest. We'll tell you where the horses are at, where we think they might end up, and, you know, when they'll be racing and all that kind of stuff. There's no guarantees in racing, unfortunately, but trying to do the best we can to make sure that we've got the best product we can possibly present to that new prospective owners.
Thank you very much for joining me in the Trainer's Hut, Steve, and all the best for a big spring ahead.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me anytime. That's awesome.
Steve Trevallia there, joining me in the Trainer's Hut. And always good to have a chat to these syndicators. They do a great job for racing. They get people involved and they keep people involved as well. And the results on the track, well, they speak for themselves for the Roll of the Dice racing team. And very much looking forward to their input to the spring coming up. Hong Bao, make sure you write that name down. H-O-N-G-B-O-A, one word, Hong Bao. The Sabug Gelding, very much looking forward to seeing what he can produce on the track. And Ifrage, we'll have to keep in touch with Steve and make sure we're alerted when that Ifrage horse over in New Zealand has been named. Gee, we know Ifrage can get a horse, don't we? But very eager to see how that turns out. That's it for this week's episode of The Trainer's Hut. Thank you for tuning in. If you're a first time listener, you can find more episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the website, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram as well as Twitter. Just search Trainer's Hut there and you'll find the handle on the social platforms. Get involved. Let us know what you think of the show. Let me know if you think I should be speaking to anyone. There's someone in the industry you like to hear from or a story that needs to be told. Get in touch with me. Always happy to have some suggestions and feedback on the show. You can like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast there to get up to date when a new episode drops. As that's it for this week's episode, though. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time in the Trainer's Hut. I'm Todd Blum. I'll see you then.